our Bibles this morning, if you would, please. Appreciate you being in the adult Bible class this morning. And what we'll do for our lesson today is we'll pick up where kind of left off on Wednesday evening. Told you we'd be looking at this when we got some chances from time to time. And I think on Wednesday evening, we looked at lessons from Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. So we'll look today at lessons from Hannah's prayer. Lessons from Hannah's prayer. So we're going to talk a little bit about prayer this morning, the one that we see listed here in the scripture, the example and the instruction that's given to us, 1 Samuel chapter 1. You remember that story about the old country boy years ago, probably in North Carolina, and how he went to the local, I guess you just called it the drugstore, maybe just call it the store, and that's where you pretty much went for a lot of things. And he was going there to buy a box of chocolate. In fact, he was going there to buy several boxes of chocolate. And what it was he was going on a date that night with what he thought was a special girl. He was going over to visit her at her house. And so he got up to the counter, and there was the man behind the counter. And he says, "I'd like to buy a half-pound box of chocolate, a one-pound box of chocolate, and a two-pound box of chocolate." And the man behind the counter said, "That's fine, young man. No problem. I'll get it for you. But can you explain to me why you need three boxes of chocolate like that? Different sizes?" He says, "I sure can. Tonight I'm dating," he goes, "I'm going to meet the family of this pretty girl that I've been dating. And after we get done eating with the family, we're going to go out and sit on the front porch. And there's a porch swing out there. And if she comes and sits down right beside me on that porch swing, I'm going to give her this half-pound box of chocolate. If after we're swinging on that porch swing together for a few minutes, if she reaches over and holds my hand, I'm going to give her that one-pound box of chocolate. And if that goes good, then after a few more minutes, if she leans over and kisses me on the jaw, I'm going to give her this two-pound box of chocolate." Man behind the counter says, "Young man, I see that you put a lot of thought into this. I understand now." And they did the deal, and everything was fine. And young man went about his way. Sure enough, when the time rolled around that night, he went to the young lady's house and was greeted by her parents. And they assembled themselves around the dining room for a good North Carolina supper. And the father of the girl that he was dating, he asked him, says, "Young man, would you, since you're a guest tonight, would you be so kind as to say grace over our meal together?" And that young man begins to pray like you've never heard anybody pray before. He was sucking wind like a West Virginia preacher. he was praying to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was quoting scripture. He was sweating. He was snorting. He just prayed and he prayed and he prayed, walking up and down the hallway there in the dining room. And finally, he got to the end. About 8 minutes later, he said, "Amen and amen." And his girlfriend looked up at him and said, "Honey, I didn't know you knew how to pray like that." He says, "Honey, I didn't know your dad ran the drugstore." So that's a little lesson in prayer for us, but let's get a better lesson than that. Let's go to the scripture tonight, to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and let's look at lessons from Hannah's prayer. I'll just give a little bit of a background. Remember, we're talking about how 1 Samuel deals with the nation of Israel back during a dark time spiritually for them, a dark time nationally for them. It's bad history that you read about during this time. It's the Judges period, and you have the book of Ruth, but the only thing that separates 1 Samuel and Judges is the book of Ruth, and that's a story that kind of parallels going through the dark times that the nation of Israel and the people of God, the chosen people of God, were going through. And it was a time where there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and there was lots of messes and problems, and you see the depravity of man first and foremost. That's why we understand that today, even, that man doesn't have the answer. If you're just a student of history, you realize that man doesn't have the answer. And we can think that November would bring an answer for our nation with a new election. But I think if we understand what's happened in the past and what the Bible teaches us, I think we understand that there's only one answer, and that comes from above. It doesn't come from down here on earth. That comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful we have that hope that supersedes our nation's future and our mankind's future, in a sense, as far as from the humanity part of it, from the humanistic part of it. But we're thankful we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our blessed hope, and his appearing in return is what we're looking to. But here the nation of Israel is going through a dark time, and a man that we talked about a little bit on Wednesday night. I won't say a whole lot about him today, but Elkanah is mentioned in verse number 1. He had a couple wives. One of those wives' names was Hannah, and we looked at Hannah. We talked about how we see that she didn't have any children and that the Lord had shut her womb. We tried to answer that question according to what we see laid before us in Scripture. The reason that Hannah was barren was because Hannah was a picture of the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel at this time was barren. They were mocked by their adversary. They were in distress. And that's what we find Hannah in here in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And this is a special picture that typifies what God's trying to help us understand with his chosen people, the nation of Israel. But the good news is the way that Hannah responded to her situation was that she poured out her soul before God. You know what God wanted the nation of Israel to do during this hard time that they were going through, where they were not fruitful, where they were mocked by their adversaries, the Philistines and other nations that lined up against the nation of the Lord, a time where they had much distress and lots of problems and tribulations and troubles. You know what he wanted them to do? He wanted them to seek him. He wanted them to humble themselves before him and to pour their soul out before him, just like Hannah did. That's what God wanted the nation of Israel to do. So that's why we have this picture here. And remember, God's going to hear Hannah's prayer. We're going to talk about that this morning. He's going to answer Hannah's prayer. She wanted a son, didn't she? She wanted to be fruitful so bad. She wanted to give her husband a son. Does that happen? We know the answer is yes. In fact, the whole book that we're reading the story is named after the son, right? 1 Samuel. Samuel goes on to be what we could probably call the greatest judge in the nation of Israel's history. And what a wonderful lesson that is for us. So that is our lesson for today. And that's what we ended on Wednesday night, was basically looking that when we're facing distress in this earthly life, when we have troubles in this earthly life, when we have times where we don't feel like we're very fruitful in this earthly life, what should we do? We should pour our souls out before God. What a great example Hannah was for believers today to follow that example. Every believer should pour their heart out before the Lord, pour their soul out before the Lord in prayer. And let me give you three reasons why we should do that this morning, okay? Number one, first reason we should pour our souls out to God in prayer is because God hears the prayers of the humble. God hears the prayers of the humble. Do you think a proud, puffed up man prays? Wouldn't that be a contradiction? If you're proud and puffed up, you have no reason to pray. Because what do you need? If you're proud and puffed up, you don't need anything. You have your pride. You have yourself. You have your own intellect or your own ability to lean on. Praying simply says, hey, I do need help. Praying simply says, hey, I'm not the answer. I need to go to another for an answer. That's parts of what prayer is. And so, first of all, God hears the prayers of the humble. Have you ever felt like before that your prayers are going about as high as the ceiling, but that's about as high as they're getting, and they're not going any farther? I think we've all felt like that before, but let me ask the question this morning as we look at this example in Scripture. Is that true when we pray to Holy God in heaven, which we're commanded in the Scripture to do? Is it true, no matter how we humanly feel, is it true that God's not hearing us? Of course it's not. That's a deception of the enemy. There are spiritual forces at work. There is spiritual oppression at work. And when we feel that way, when we feel like we're not getting through to the throne of glory, it's not because that's true. It's because we have bad spiritual forces opposing us. Because here we have an example in Scripture of Hannah praying to God. You know, this isn't the first time she's prayed to God about her situation. Did God hear her the other times? Absolutely he did. Did he give her a sure answer where she understood exactly what her future, what his will for her was every time she prayed? I'd have to say no. But what did Hannah do? Did she stop? Did she get overwhelmed in her distress? Did she turn to something else to alleviate her problems? No, she kept praying. She humbled herself. She goes, she understood that in this earthly life, there was no one else she could talk to about this that could actually help her than the Lord God Almighty. So what she did, she kept talking to him about it. She kept humbling herself and saying, you're the only one that can help, so you're the one I'm going to talk to about this. You know, Hannah, verse number 10, look at it there. It says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So Hannah prayed unto the Lord Lord, and wept sore. And you'll see here, and I talked a little bit about this on Wednesday night, and I won't spend a whole lot of time on it, but she made a vow to God that if God would give her a son, she would then take her son and dedicate him to God's service as a Nazirite. You see that in verse number 11. That's something special they did back in Old Testament times. I think you'd remember if I asked you who else was a son that was dedicated to the Lord as a Nazirite. I think you could probably talk about Samson pretty quick off the top of your head. There's even a passage in the Gospel according to Matthew. Now, it wasn't written down in the Old Testament, but there's even a passage that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ himself being under the vow of a Nazirite. Now, that's a little different there. I won't follow up on that, but that is mentioned in the early chapters of Matthew. But I did bring this point out on Wednesday night, that if you understand the Scripture, And you understand your relationship and what we have in Christ today, that how the Bible says we are complete in Him, okay? You can see that there's a difference between, say, somebody like Hannah, a citizen of the nation of Israel in Old Testament times, and someone that's in Christ today, a part of His church, part of what he's doing today, currently, according to what the Scripture instructs us. And there's no need to make deals with God in prayer today, especially concerning earthly things. Now, I know we like to do that. You know, we ought to be careful when we make deals with each other men, much less trying to make deals with God above. You're putting yourself in a precarious situation there, okay? And we mentioned the verse in Ecclesiastes there where it talks about it's better not to vow a vow than to make a vow and then not pay it. And we talked about that a little bit on Wednesday night. But let me just tell you, I'm thankful that we're complete in Christ today, and God works in grace in this dispensation that we're in today, and that's a blessing. I hope if you don't understand that, you need to study that and read about that a little bit more, because you'll see the tremendous blessing, the spiritual blessing of what Christ has done for us. Now, Israel was an earthly people, God's earthly people. They had an earthly hope, but remember, we have the spiritual blessings of Christ today, and we have a spiritual hope and spiritual blessings in the heavens, and we're never instructed to make deals with God for earthly temporal blessings. I think of 2 Corinthians 4:18, where Paul's saying we're troubled on every side but not distressed. He didn't say, well, I'm troubled on every side, so now I'm going to try and bargain with God to get out of my trouble. No, he says, I know because I have a hope that's out of this world, that's in the heavens, I don't have to bargain with God. I know that God's going to take me out of this stress, that He's going to take care of it, that this isn't taking anything away from who I am or who I will be. God's already got that settled in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so He didn't have to bargain with God. What does Colossians 3:2 say? It says, set your affections on things above. So we're not in an earthly bargaining game with God. That's not what it's like. So we got to learn that truth. But the great principle we learn here from Hannah is that God hears the prayers of the humble. She humbled herself. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord and we seek Him, God's going to respond to us. He's going to take care of us. He already has taken care of us. Let's say it that way. But He's going to make that real to us. See, we're going to understand His provision. He's going to provide what is needed. He's going to provide all the wisdom and all the guidance and all the strength and all the grace that we need in every situation we'll face down here in this earthly life. That's what God's going to do. So we need to pour our souls out before Him. We should do that. And one of the first reasons we see here is because God does hear the prayers of the humble. Now, we have a blessing today that Hannah didn't have in Old Testament times. The Bible teaches us this in the New Testament, that we're actually indwelled by His Spirit. Okay? Now, you can read in Old Testament times how the Spirit of the Lord could come upon a prophet or could come upon a man, could even come upon someone like King Saul, but we have this special understanding that God's given us doctrinally, that when we're saved at the moment of faith, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, that our bodies are actually the temple of the Holy Ghost. What a blessing that is, and that's why I've referenced a verse like Romans 8:26 on Wednesday night. Even when we don't know what to pray for as we ought to, that God, He takes our prayers and He intercedes, and the Spirit intercedes for us, and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself at the right hand of the Father intercedes for us, and we don't have to worry about having the eloquent right words always to say in a prayer. God just wants us to humble ourselves and pray. I think we should always be reverential and respectful. Obviously, we should do that, but God just wants us to pour our hearts out and our souls out before Him. Don't worry that, oh, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to say all these, you know, five-syllable words, and I'm not sure God's going to accept my prayer. No, God's accepted you in Christ Jesus. He just wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to worship Him. He wants you to spend time with Him. What a blessing that is to know that. And Isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit can carry the right prayer to the throne of God for us? It's funny that Hannah here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, she didn't even pray out loud. You notice that, right? How's God supposed to hear her if she didn't pray out loud? Sometimes we humanize God too much, don't we? Put our human limitations on him. Do you realize that God heard every word of her prayer because he recorded it for us in this passage, even though she never audibilized it? Verbalized it, maybe that's the right word to say. An audible is something you do when you're playing football. I'm just kidding. But she never verbalized it, yet he heard it. And he recorded it here in this passage for us. That ought to bring some comfort to you today. And I think that's very interesting to dwell upon for a moment. But verses 12 through 14, you see the little story there. Let's look at it. And it says, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, see, he's just a man, marked her mouth. And by the way, on a side note, I always have side notes. I like to define words in the passage using the King James Bible. So if you want to define the word marked her mouth there, Psalm 37:37 is a good passage there. It tells you to mark the perfect man. What does that mean? It means take notice. What did Eli do? He was standing there in the temple. He saw her lips moving. Okay, he presumed her to be to have had too much wine, excessive wine. He thought that's why she was doing like that. But she was just praying to herself, pouring out her burden before God, and he took notice of her lips, okay? And when you have a man that's perfect and walking after the ways of God in Psalm number 37, you're supposed to take notice of him and let that be a good example to you. But that's, like I said, that's a side note real quick. But he marked her mouth in verse 12. Verse 13, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. God heard her, of course, because her prayer is recorded in Scripture. I just said that. And verse number 14 says, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And we know the story there, but she wasn't drunken. She was burdened. She did have distress. Her situation was tough. It was hard. She was not able to give a son to her husband, and her adversary, which would be the other wife that her husband had, and we talked a little bit about that on Wednesday night also, she mocked her. Penina, I think, was her name, and they named a sandwich after her, Panini. I'm just kidding, it's just different. But she mocked her, because she did give sons to Elkanah, but Hannah was not able to do that at that time. And so a lot of distress had came upon her. Her heart and soul were very heavy, but she responded the right way. It's what we talked about Wednesday night. She poured her heart out before God. She humbled herself before God. We should take that instruction, that example, that admonition, and we should respond the same. We're here today, and I know this is just the first part of our service today, but I guarantee you, amongst those of us assembled here this morning, there's some distress, and there's some affliction, and there's some tough things we're dealing with. I'm sure at 11 o'clock when other folks convene in here and assemble in here, there's going to be lots of distress and affliction that'll be represented in an assembly like we'll have this morning. What should all of us do? What can all of us do? We can do like Hannah. We can humble ourselves and pour our hearts and souls out before God. Let me hurry on to look at the rest of this morning the best we can. Secondly, the second reason we should pour our souls out before God is because prayer turns our bitterness into joy. Prayer turns our bitterness into joy. We saw it in verse number 10. She's bitter. She's got a lot of bitterness of soul. She's weeping sore. You see it in verse 15. You see her burden as actually Eli's let in on it a little bit. And she says, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I haven't drunk too much wine or strong drink, but I've poured out my soul, verse 15, before the Lord. And I'm not going to read all the verses because of time, and hopefully we're pretty familiar with a lot of these verses, but she poured out her soul to God. Her countenance, verses 18, 19, changed. Look at it, verse 18. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now, remember how she was before, sorrowful in spirit, bitterness of spirit, weeping, wept sore. If you're upset enough emotionally, you can get sore from it. And I know that means more than that when I say that. But just like if you exercise or do something physically strenuous, it can make you sore. when you do something emotionally strenuous, it makes you very sore, does it not? And like I said, I know that the Bible is using that as the great amount, and is trying to explain her countenance there and her disposition. But verse 18, her countenance has changed. Her countenance was no more sad. And when she goes in verse 19, she's going to get back with her husband and eat something. Okay? And when we know our physical bodies require food, and we actually, for the most part, we enjoy eating, but if your countenance is of such and your spirit is so sorrowful and heavy, food is like way on down the list as something that you don't even look to when you're afflicted like that. But if she's had that burden and that sorrow lifted from her, now she's having those physical needs met by eating. And you remember there's a precedent for that in Scripture also, with David weeping over his son that passed away, the son he had with Bathsheba. But after the passed away, he looked to God and he understood what had happened, and he rose up to eat and washed himself and all those things. We have many, many scriptures that talk about that. So we see that her countenance was no more sad, that she wanted to eat. You know, think about it this way. Are there certain people that you're around from time to time, maybe at church or other places, maybe in your family, maybe other places like your workplace, and they're a big encouragement to you, they actually lift your spirits? You know, I think the only way someone can actually have that good countenance is if they've left their sorrow and their bitterness with the Lord. I really think sometimes when we are sorrowful and oppressed or depressed, or however you want to say that, and we have a sad or bitter countenance, I think it's because we haven't followed Hannah's example and dealt with the Lord like we were supposed to, and then we don't have anything for anybody else. We don't have any encouragement or any edification for anybody else. We don't have any help for them because we haven't went and got the help that we needed. And there's only one place, once again, to get that help, and that's with the Lord. And we see that example here. You know, when you turn to God in prayer, He provides an inner peace and a joy. The Scripture speaks of that. The book of Philippians is a good place to look. You know, Philippians 1:4 is a good verse. Philippians chapter 4, you read there verses 5, 6, 7, all through there. You know, it tells us what to do. It says, be careful for nothing, right? And remember, that's being full of care. Being just like the word faithful means full of faith. The word careful there in the passage in the Bible means full of care. That means you're weighted down and burdened down with care. There's that sorrowful spirit and that bitterness of soul and all that stuff that results from that. So be careful for nothing. Don't let this earthly life and the problems of this earthly life, don't let them make you burdened down with care. That's what the Bible says. Be careful for nothing, but what? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we see New Testament doctrine that goes right along with this Old Testament story that God's given us, written aforetime for our admonition. We see it illustrated right here in the life of Hannah. So what happens when you let your requests be made known unto God? It says, peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, there, it's just like step by step by step, but that never happens if you don't go to God in the first place. If you just get so full of care to where you're burdened down, you're gonna be depressing to others, much less yourself. When God's told us exactly what to do, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, it's good to talk to a friend about troubles. It's good to talk to a spouse or pastor or I don't know, Sunday school teacher or brother and sister in Christ. It's okay, I guess. But if you want peace and joy that's unspeakable, you need to talk to your Heavenly Father. Once again, Hannah could have told everybody on the trip to Jerusalem and about her plight, and everybody on the way back, and everybody in and around Jerusalem. She could have told them all about, but there was only one that could help her, and that was her Heavenly Father. And that's the one she talked to, and he's the one that helped her. He's the one that helped her. God can take your negative situation, and He can turn it into a positive situation. He can take your confusion and turn it into trust. He can take your worry and turn it into peace. He can take your sadness and turn it into joy. I mean, you just fill in the blank. God can do that. I was thinking of an example, you know, being full of care and being burdened and weighted down. When you're carrying something heavy, do you normally have a big smile across your face? Or is it more of a grimace? Which one is it? I was thinking, Brother, the Velezes were loading up a moving truck on Friday, and I saw Brother Corbett and some others out there. I don't know if you want to, I helped him unload when he got here, but I wasn't feeling too good on Friday, and he said he didn't need my help, so I didn't help that day. But normally when you're carrying stuff and you got a burden, you're normally grimacing, you're gritting your teeth like that. You're making a face. It's not a pleasant face. Most of the time it's kind of an unpleasant face, is it not? You know, it's the same way if you're emotionally or spiritually burdened, you're walking around with an unpleasant face on. You're grimacing, you're gritting your teeth. Other people see that. You might not even know you're doing it. But if you're walking around, your step is light and you got to bounce to your step because all your burdens have been given to God. You haven't been full of care, but you've let your requests made known to God. You know what? You have that cheerful disposition. Your countenance is no more sad. That's a physical example of what we deal with emotionally and spiritually. And I'm sure that's how Hannah, there's a difference in her disposition on her way to talk to God than it was on her way after she talked to God. What a blessing it is to be able to bring our cares and requests to God. You know why? Because prayers turn our bitterness into joy. It really does. Let's look thirdly here and finish up this morning best we can. A third reason to pour our souls and our hearts out before God in prayer is because prayer gives victory over the adversary. Prayer gives victory over the adversary. The nation of Israel had adversaries, and they couldn't beat those adversaries in their own strength. Hannah here, she had an adversary. There's nothing she could say or do to that lady that was mocking her and making her situation even worse. But, and I won't go through a lot of this, but I will say, you know, we talked a little bit about polygamy on Wednesday night and talked about Scripture. There's one verse I didn't give you, even though I gave you the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 2. That's why Paul, as he's writing to the church there at Corinth, he says, let every man have his own wife, singular, not plural, right? Not wives. Let every man have his own wife. Why? Because one wife will bring trouble after the flesh. Two wives will bring more trouble after the flesh, and so on and so forth. And that's just the words that are used in the passage, okay? And there's a New Testament precedent set there, so it's smart to understand that. But you know, today you know that people really aren't our adversary. You know what we're told in Ephesians chapter 6? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We do have an adversary, but it's really not people. Now, we have to remind ourselves that every day. Or otherwise, every day you'll think people are your adversaries. You'll think that your battle and your fight and your struggle is with people. But the Bible's very clear about that. It says it's not with people. We have adversary. We have adversaries, I guess you could say, but it's the spiritual wickedness in high places. It's the rulers of darkness. It's the prince of the power of the air. It's the little g god of this world. It's Satan himself and his world system that's adverse to us today. That's against us today. What are we supposed to do? Well, the same passage, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, 13, that talk about that. They also, in verse number 18, it talks about the importance of prayer in the life of a believer. We do have a weapon against our adversaries, just like Hannah did. She didn't go to the doctor, the medical doctor. She went to the great physician, her heavenly father, and he's the only one that could give her relief and give her victory over her adversary. Today we have adversaries. There's only one place to go to get the victory over our adversaries, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So thankful that he's given us the victory. Satan's our adversary, 1 Peter 5, 7, right? He's an adversary to the nation of Israel. He's an adversary to the believer in Christ today. And he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy our marriage relationship. He wants to destroy our children, our home, etc. But we must continue in prayer. We must continue trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue in prayer. Continue in the faith. All that the Scripture tells us to do. We need to pour out our soul before God when it comes to our marriage, our family, our homes, our children, our grandchildren, lost people that we know, our church, our pastors, our fellow believers, our everything you can fill the blank in with. That's what we need to do, is pour our souls out, our hearts out before God in prayer. I read a story, and I'll finish with this morning, of George Washington back during Valley Forge. George Washington was known to be a man of prayer, and a man that walked with God and communed with God. They say that at 4 o'clock in the morning, that when when not during war times, but during times where he was in his official governmental position, that they would find him at the library at 4 o'clock in the morning having devotions, talking to God. But when he was on the battlefield during the Revolutionary War and during those tough times for our nation, they said that they'd see him out walking early in the morning, talking to God. He'd have his place of where he'd have a quiet time and talk to the Lord. And they said the same thing happened at Valley Forge. With all the cares and anxieties of the time upon him, he used to have a time of prayer. One day, a farmer approaching the camp there near Valley Forge heard an earnest voice. He went closer to see what the voice was, or who the voice was. On coming nearer, he saw George Washington on his knees. His cheeks were wet with tears, praying to God. Well, the farmer returned home and said to his wife, "George Washington's going to succeed. George Washington's going to succeed. In fact, the Americans will secure our independence." And his wife looked at him and says, "What makes you think so?" He goes, "I heard him pray today, Hannah, out in the woods today, and the Lord will surely hear his prayer. He will. I know he will, honey. Rest assured that we will overcome our adversary." You know, there's only one weapon we have when it comes to our adversary that we should employ all the time. We should not look to ourselves or look to our own ingenuity, but we should look to humbling ourselves before God, letting him turn our bitterness into joy, and letting him give us that victory over the adversary. In fact, we have the victory over the adversary, but you might not realize it sometimes until you take time to pray. Once you do, you'll realize things from God's perspective and God's point of view. How important it is for us to follow this example of prayer, and these are lessons from Hannah's prayer for us to think about this morning. All right, let's get the report for today and see what the Lord is doing. Appreciate you being here. We're going to have a service